going to ask you to stand, if you can stand. Most of the text that I'm going to read today is in your bulletin, but then also I'm going to read to the end of the chapter. I'm going to start in verse 6 of 1 Peter chapter 5. As I conclude this series on suffering, suffering for righteousness, suffering for Christ, I'm going to read 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 13. And my main anchor verse this morning is verse 10. 1 Peter, I'm going to read chapter 5, verse 6 through 13. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. She who is in Babylon, elect together with you, greets you, and so does Mark, my son. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Verse 10 again. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, may he perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. I'm going to preach from this thought this morning. Suffering won't last always. Suffering won't last always. You may be seated. Suffering won't last always. Suffering won't last always. Story was told. This is a story. It's fictitious. It's not true. But a story was told about this Christian man who died. And of course, since he was a Christian, he went to heaven. And as he was in heaven, this angel was showing him around, showing him different things in heaven. And he showed him these rooms. He said, here's a room. And it was a room with a big cross in it, representing, you know, your suffering, your trials, your tribulation. It was a big cross. And so the guy asked the angel, so whose room is that? He said, well, that's Moses' room. And then they go on down the hall, brother sitting, and get to another room and another big cross in that room. And he said, whose room is that? He said, well, that's Paul's room. And so it goes on and on and on, you know, Ezra, Nehemiah, Peter, and they have these rooms with big crosses in them. And they finally get to another room with a little bitty cross in it. And the guy said, whose room is that? He said, that's your room. That's your room. Y'all didn't get it. The cross represents suffering. The cross, Sister Bray, represents hard times. Peter never had a big old cross. This guy had a little bitty cross. He hadn't experienced much suffering, much persecution. That's kind of the way we are. When we go through things, we think, man, this is so bad. This is so rough. And really, in the big scheme of things, it's not really that bad. Especially in comparison to what some people go through, it's really not that bad. And whatever it is, suffering won't last always. Peter, he writes this letter once again to encourage the saints. They're scattered out because of this crazy Roman emperor by the name of Nero had begun to persecute the Christians. So they're scattered out. And so Peter begins to wrote these two books, 1 Peter and 2 Peter, as the Holy Spirit led him. He wrote these letters to let us know that suffering is required. For this Christian journey, suffering is required. But also through suffering comes victory, and also suffering won't last always. We're reminded in this wonderful scripture that the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God endures forever. Also, we're reminded that you are called a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, God's own special people. That's good news. That's a good place to say amen. Also, we're reminded in this book that the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. Now, that's reason enough for you to be here this morning. God's eyes are upon the child of God, and his ears are open to to our prayers. When I think about that, I know I can make it through whatever trials, whatever tribulations, whatever tests, whatever sufferings I'm going through, because I know God's eyes are on me and his ears are open to my prayers. Also, we're reminded in this wonderful book of 1 Peter, Christ also suffered once for sins, the just, the unjust, that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, might bring us to God. I'm glad that Jesus came on a rescue mission. He said, I've come to seek and to save those who are lost. That was you and me. He came to seek and to save us. Also, we're told in this book that we ought to be holy, for our God is holy. Also, this book, verse 10, and we're going to talk about it in just a second. It lets us know that suffering, Brother Timothy, won't last always. Suffering won't last always. Verses 8 and 9, and we finished up there last week, but verse 8 and 9, look what it says. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. We have an enemy. We have three enemies, actually, seeking whom he may devour. But we are told, beloved, to resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brothers in the world. In other words, you and I are not going through suffering by ourselves. Other people, Deacon Beasley, other people throughout this world are going through sufferings as well. It's not just you. You ain't the only one. Others are going through stuff too. So widen your lens just a little bit and say, man, I'm not the only one going through stuff. Plus, once again, verse 7 tells us that we can cast all of our cares on him because he cares for us. So whatever you or me might be going through, God says, bring it to me. Come to me. Cry out to me. So verse 10, once again, this is my anchor verse. I'm going to spend most of my time in verse 10. I might be the shortest man in town today. But verse 10 says, But the God of all grace, may the God of all grace, I can't just rush past it, may the God of all grace, we are saved by the grace of God, not of works lest anyone should boast. We are saved by his grace. So God has saving grace. We are kept by his grace. God has keeping grace. Let me just get a few Bible witnesses. Noah, throughout the Bible, as you read the Bible, there are many places where it says this particular person found favor, found grace in the eyes of God. Noah, he found grace, Sister Jonathan, in the eyes of God. Matter of fact, God was about to wipe out everything. But the Bible said God saw Noah, who was a righteous man. So Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Moses found grace in the eyes of our Lord. Nehemiah and Ezra found grace in the eyes of our God. Sister Esther, she found grace in the eyes of our God. Matter of fact, she was raised up for such a time as this. I mean, God has given grace to many people. The psalmist says it this way. He said, the Lord will give grace and glory. Let me repeat that. The psalmist said, God will give grace and glory. God is a grace giver. He gives grace to you and me. 1 Peter 5:5 says God gives grace to the humble. So if you're prideful, you're not going to get into God's grace. God gives grace to the humble. The Lord says, I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Luke 2:40, Dr. Luke says this way. He said, the grace of God was upon Jesus. God is a God of grace. I said, God is a God of grace. We're the Christian church this morning, right? God is a God of grace. Apostle John said this and said, Jesus was full of grace and truth. Jesus was full of grace and truth. The woman with the issue of blood, she experienced the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by touching the hem of his garment and being healed. So she experienced his healing grace. The demoniac who was acting a fool out in the graveyard, he experienced the delivering grace of God. Nicodemus, he experienced the saving grace of our God. Zacharias and blind Bartimaeus, they experienced the saving and the healing grace of our God. Peter, James, and John, they experienced the grace of God. Paul, he experienced the grace of God. Matter of fact, he prayed that God would remove the thorn in the flesh, prayed three times, but God said, I'm not going to remove it. But God said, my grace is sufficient. Well, wait a minute. Y'all not acting too excited. God's grace has been poured out upon you and upon me. We experience the grace of God. Matter of fact, we're experiencing his grace even right now. I know it sounds kind of cliche-ish, but grandma, you say grace woke you up this morning. Grace put food on the table. Grace put clothes on your back. We had traveling grace and mercy as we came here this morning. We got many saints out traveling different places this weekend. God has given them traveling grace and mercies. God is a God of grace. He's a God of grace. He's a God of grace. Matter of fact, grace, it's amazing. Brother John Newton, he got so excited, he had to write a hymn about it. You know, he used to be involved with slave trade. He got saved, he got delivered. He said, I gotta write a hymn about this. He said, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. God's grace is amazing. It's fabulous. It's bountiful. And so Peter, as he's writing to these saints who are going through suffering, he said, look, may the God of all grace who called us, let me pause there, who called us. If you're saved today, if you're a Christian today, it's because God has called you. Let me say it again. If you're saved today, it's because God has called you. Listen to this. If you're not saved today, God is calling you even right now. I mean, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to cry out to God. Say, God, I know you. The preacher is talking about the Bible. Say, you are a God of all grace. I want to receive your saving grace today. God has called us. 1 Peter chapter 1 talks about how we are chosen. We are the elect of God. You ought to come on Wednesday night. We still have church on Wednesday night. I would expound on it about the chosen of God, the elect of God. Check this out. In eternity past, there was an election. But this election wasn't made by man. It wasn't some popular vote, this election, even before the foundation of the world. But there was an election. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, he elected you. And he said, I want to have an eternal relationship with you. I want to choose you, you, and you. God chose us to be saved. I'm thankful that God chose me to be saved. I'm grateful. Somebody might be saying, well, I don't know if I'm chosen. I don't know if I'm the elect. Well, you better run forward and say, God, I give my life to you. Matter of fact, I'll pause the sermon right now. We can just put a period in it right now. If you don't know God, if you don't know Jesus, if you wonder, am I elect? Am I chosen? The Bible says, Romans 10, he said, confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. Whoever confesses with their mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead, they shall be saved. There it is. Salvation is simple. The gospel, the good news, it's a simple message. That we were sinners on our way to hell, but God being rich in mercy, that Christ came down through 40 and two generations, lived a perfect sin-free life, died on Calvary's cross. Salvation is it's a simple message, the good news. Christ died for you and for me. It's the good news. We can tell others once again how they can be reconciled to God, how they can be made right with God. The God of all grace, verse 10 again. But may the God of all grace who called us to his eternal glory. He called us to his eternal glory. Listen, after you have suffered, the New American Standard and the ESV, the English Standard Version said, after you have suffered a little while. I kind of like that adjective put in. After you have suffered a little while. Let me just pause there. See, suffering, Brother Tom, it has an expiration date. It has an expiration date. This too shall pass. Weeping, we say it all the time, it's out of the Bible. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. We like to say that, we like to quote it. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. But listen, we don't know when morning time will come. We it has an expiration date, but we don't know when the expiration date is. We know that this too shall pass, but we don't know when it's going to pass. We don't know when it's going to cease, this suffering, this trial, this tribulation, this stuff that we're going through. We don't know when it's going to end. But watch this. We know it's going to end at some point. I said, we know it's going to end. Somebody said, well, how long? When, preacher? When, pastor? It's going to end at some point. It eventually will cease. After you suffer for a little while, if you're taking notes, you want to jot this down. Suffering has an expiration date. Just ask Job, as I finish this series on suffering. I mean, Job, he would tell you that suffering has an expiration date. Joseph would tell you that suffering has an expiration date. It's not out into infinity somewhere. No, it has an expiration date. And also, suffering, write this down, suffering does a divine, D-I-V-I-N-E, it does a divine work in us. It does a divine work in you and me. It does a godly work that only he could do in you and me. You know, there's some things that we can only properly achieve or get achieved in our lives by one method in one place. There are some things that can only be accomplished, only be properly achieved in your life and in my life by one method and in one place. That method is suffering. No, it's not a popular thing. It's not a popular statement. But there are some things that can only be done in your life and in my life through suffering. Joseph, when he was a teenager, he was somewhat a little prideful, a little arrogant somewhere. And God said, okay, I'm going to use you mightily. But I got to humble you down a little bit first. So I'm going to allow you to go through this suffering. I'm going to allow you to get sold into slavery. I'm going to allow you to be in Potiphar's house. I'm going to allow you to be lied upon. I'm going to allow you to be thrown in prison. I'm going to allow you to end up in the palace. Some things that can only be accomplished in your life and in my life through the vehicle called suffering. Y'all not getting this. Some things only take place in the laboratory of life. Real living. How many in here used to take chemistry? How many of y'all used to take chemistry? How many of y'all are taking chemistry? All right, a lot of us. Unless you flunked out or jumped out of school or something. Most of us had to take chemistry, right? Y'all remember chemistry? You go to class and, you know, you get your books out and you learn. You know, you learn about chemistry and you know, you get the theory of chemistry. You get the head knowledge. You take tests and do all that stuff. But sooner or later, lab time comes. You know, you go to the lab, chemistry lab, you know, you get those, sometimes they give you goggles, sometimes they give you a little coat, and you take out that old Bunsen burner. And then you got to make your experiments. So you might have been faking it till you can make it in class, but once you get to the lab, they're going to find out if you really know what you're doing. You might get in there and blow up some stuff. So it's theory versus application. Class versus lab. But check this out. That was a chemistry book. That was a chemistry class. Right now, here's our book. Here's our chemistry book, if you will. It's the Bible. It's the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. It's the Word of God. And so as I studied, as you studied, as we learn, as you come to church, I can say maybe the church is the classroom, these four walls. Or you study at home, that can be your classroom as well. As we study from this book, but watch this. Real life is coming. Lab time is coming. And so once God allows us to go out of here and encounter some stuff in life, some trials, some tribulations, some suffering, it lets us know, did we really get the theory? Are we really believing what we're reading? Are we really believing what we're memorizing and meditating on? Are we really going to use it as we go through different things in life? So life is lab time. Somebody say lab time. That's, life is lab time. It really shows you and me just where your faith is. See, it's easy, at least I know I'm like this, it's easy to tell other people, oh yeah, you can make it, brother or sister, put your faith in the Lord. But what about when you need to trust Him? What about when you're going through some tough times? That's lab time. Job said it this way. He said, God, I've heard about you, I've read about you, but now I've seen you. Now I've seen you. 1 Peter 4:12, it's lab time. Once again, 1 Peter 4:12 says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning a fiery trial, which is to try you or test you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice. Somebody say rejoice. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings. Let me read that again. Beloved, love, fellowship. Don't think it's strange. Somebody say strange. Don't think it's strange concerning a fiery trial, which is to try you or test you as though some strange thing is happening to you. But rejoice. Rejoice to the extent that you are partaking of Christ's suffering. So really for the Christian, it's strange if you don't go through some stuff. Let me say that again. It's strange if you're not going through some stuff. Because again, as a Christian, you're going to be kind of going against the grain. The world not going to embrace you. The way we think is not the way lost people think. So as a Christian, you will endure some toughness. Jesus said it this way. In this life, in this world, you will have trouble. But he said, take courage, for I've overcome the world. I've overcome the world. In the book of Acts, these brothers, I think it was Peter and John, they were preaching about Jesus, and they actually got, the Romans took them aside, and they began to whip them and beat them because they was preaching about Jesus. And they left there. They didn't leave there complaining. They didn't leave there and say, well, God, why did we get beat? We were preaching the gospel. And they left there rejoicing that they were considered to be suffered just like Christ did. 1 Peter 5:10, once again, says, after you have suffered for a little while, well, as you and I are going through this suffering, what's happening? What's going on? It's right there in your verse, 1 Verse 10, as you and I go through suffering, we're being perfected. Y'all see that in your Bible? We're being established, we're being strengthened, and we're being settled. So as you and I go through suffering, as we suffer for a little while, as we're going through those trials and tribulations, as we're going through those suffering, God is confirming us. God is perfecting us. God is strengthening us. God is establishing us. God is settling us. So he's doing various things as we go through these trials. I read this in several different translations, and we got a couple of words that are not in the New King James, but he is restoring us. He's building us up. He's supporting you. He's completing you. He's making you what you ought to be. So as you and I go through suffering, once again, I'm just going to read this again. He is perfecting you. He is establishing you. He is strengthening you, and he is settling you. He's also building you up. So once again, if we never went through some trial, we would be a weak, anemic type of Christian. For those of you who are college football fans, we would be kind of like the Tennessee football team yesterday. We'd be weak. We got to go do some stuff. We wouldn't be like Alabama, Sister Kathy. We wouldn't be like, you got to go do some stuff. It strengthens us. It builds us up. It builds us up. So after you've suffered for a little while, here's a great quote. If you're taking notes, you might want to write this down. Here's a great quote that I found this week as it relates to suffering. This writer said, God's purposes, which are realized in the future, require some pain in the present. Let me say that again. God's purposes, which are realized in the future, require some pain in the present. Just ask Job, ask Joseph, ask Nehemiah, ask Jeremiah. There are some things that we go through right now going to cause us some pain, but it's going to help us in the future. And growing up, if you did something wrong, if you had a mom and dad like my mom and dad, if you did something wrong, you experienced some pain in the present, but it helped you in the future. Beloved, we're going to go through stuff. Suffering is one of the vehicles. Listen, it's one of the vehicles that God uses to mature us in the most holy faith. Suffering is something that we just have to go through. Suffering is part of God's grace for you. But somebody said it won't last always. Suffering won't last always. Suffering don't last always. So verse 10 again. But may the God of all grace who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, he's going to perfect, he's going to establish, he's going to strengthen, he's going to settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. As we go through suffering for Christ, we got to remember we serve the Lord of Lords. It's on the wall, Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. God is a great potentate. He's over all of the universe. Matter of fact, Philippians 2 tells that one day every knee is going to have to bow. Every tongue is going to have to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Things in heaven, things on earth, things under the earth are going to say Jesus Christ is Lord. The devil, he's going to say Jesus Christ is Lord. Those who have rejected Jesus, they're in hell, they're in the flame of fire, but they're still going to say Jesus Christ is Lord. Everybody, everything going to have to bow to Christ. So that's why I'm glad we bowing now. You can either bow now or bow later. That's what Peter reminds them and us, that, hey, to him be the glory and the dominion. He's Lord and he's in charge. He's running things. This is his word. This is his universe. Not mine, it's not yours. And then he says by Silvanus, also as could be Silas, our faithful brother, as I consider him, verse 13, I have written to you briefly, exhorting or encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. In which you stand. As you and I go through stuff, we experience the true grace of God. As you go through that purple trial, that purple suffering, guess what? You experience some purple grace of God. When you go through that red trial, that red suffering, guess what? You experience some red grace of God. Guess what? When you go through that white trial, that white suffering, you experience some white grace of God. As you and I go through things, we experience the true grace of God. See, if you never had a problem, how would you know he's a problem solver? If you've never been sick, how would you know he can heal you? If you've never been out of your right mind, how could you know he can put you back in your right mind? If you've never been down and out, how would you know he could pull you up out of the gutter and pull you up from being down and out? See, if you never had a test, you wouldn't have a testimony. Again, suffering won't last always. Verse 13 says, she, meaning the church who is the saints who are in Babylon, elect. There's that word again, elect. God chose us. God elected us. Elect together with you greets you, and so does Mark. That was the one who wrote John Mark, the Gospel of Mark. Mark, my son. Greet one another with a kiss of love. That speaks to fellowship. And brothers, I'm sorry, I'm not going, you know, I usually go right with the Bible. But I'm not going to be as I hug a brother, I'm not going to kiss on the brother. So culturally, they did that a lot then. Like even in some of our Eastern countries now, you see them, you know, they greet each other and they do a little kiss on the cheek and stuff or whatever. But we can fellowship. We can hug. We can talk. I just want to read. We have fellowship time here at Love Fellowship. It shouldn't just be just right here in these couple of minutes here in these four walls, but fellowship with one another outside the four walls. Call one another. Pray for one another. Encourage one another. Hang out with one another. All of us, especially even some of our sick here lately. Sister Rose, it was a great couple of weeks ago when her class, blast class, came up to see her at NHC. Pray for those saints like a Sister Flippin. Also, our brother Shivers messed up his ankle the other day. So be praying for them as a part of fellowship. And we are called to fellowship one with another. You know, we serve God, right? We serve God, right? And we serve and worship the Son of God, right? The Lord Jesus Christ, right? And we have the Spirit of God inside of us, right? As Christians, we're born again, right? Y'all all right out there this morning? Y'all all right this morning? We have the Spirit of God inside of us. We have the Word of God, right? But we also have the people of God. Sometimes we forget about that great resource, the people of God. It's good. I'm glad I have some brothers in my life that we can talk and we can fellowship. We can encourage one another. We can lovingly challenge one another. We have the people of God. So Peter's saying, look, don't forget that you have, yes, the God of all grace, but also don't forget you got each other. Say, greet each other with a kiss of love. Then he says, peace to you all. Even though you're going through suffering, even though you're going through trial, he said, peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ, you can have some peace. I say, if you're in Christ, you can have some peace. Matter of fact, he said, I'm the Prince of Peace. One of the names for God is Jehovah Shalom. He's the God of peace. You can have peace in the Lord. You will have peace in the Lord. Again, suffering won't last always. It has an expiration date. This too shall pass after you have suffered for a little while. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Now again, I don't know when your morning is. Your morning might be tomorrow morning. Your morning might be next week. Your morning might be next month. Your morning might be, somebody said, slow down, Pat, don't go any further. Your morning might be next year. Your morning might be in the next decade. Check this out. Your morning time might not be until the Lord calls you home. But even with that being said, taking a bigger picture of things, after you've suffered a little while, even if you or I had to suffer another 5, another 10, another 20, another 30 years, that's nothing compared to eternity. That's nothing. That's minute. That's minuscule compared to eternity. So after you suffer for a little while, it won't last always. Again, saints, as we're going through things, it's not just you, it's not just me. Other people in this city, other people in Chattanooga are going, Christians, I'm talking about Christians now. Other Christians in Chattanooga are going through some things for righteousness' sake. Other people in this state are going through things for righteousness' sake. Other people in this nation, the United States of America, are going through things for righteousness' sake. Other people in the world. You remember a few weeks ago, I read to you about how, you know, people in other parts of the world are losing their life for righteousness' sake. So we're not the only one. You're not the only one going through suffering. And oh, by the way, Christ himself suffered. I said, Jesus Christ himself suffered. If you don't believe he suffered, let me give you a couple thoughts about his suffering. He left his throne in heaven to be born in a manger in Bethlehem. That's suffering. Jesus gave up the praise of angels who were crying out, holy, holy, holy. He gave it up for the jeers of men who were saying, crucify him, crucify him. That's suffering. Jesus gave up his unlimited deity for limited humanity, although he still remained God. Jesus gave up his omnipresence. That means he's everywhere all at the same time, but he gave it up temporarily to be in one place at one time. That's a type of suffering. Jesus suffered for us so that we might not suffer for eternity. I got to repeat that one. Spirit rewind. Jesus suffered for us so that we might not suffer for all eternity. Jesus was arrested so that we might be set free. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. Jesus was arrested so that we might be set free. Jesus was denied by Peter and betrayed by Judas. That's suffering. They put a crown on his head, a crown of thorns on his head. That's suffering. They whipped him and beat him. That's suffering. They hung him on a cross. That's suffering. All of my sins, all of your sins were placed on him. He who knew no sin. Temporarily separated from God the Father. He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's suffering. They pierced him in the side. That's suffering. He hung his head and he died. But oh, that's not how the story ends. I said, that's not how the story ends. 3 days later, he rose again. So while you are suffering, saints, remember Christ suffered. Remember other saints are suffering too. Remember Job, Joseph, on and on, Jeremiah, they suffered. And as you are suffering, as I'm suffering, we need to remember these things. I'm just going to remind you of a few things you need to remember as you go through suffering. Of course, remember that Christ suffered, but also remember that in Christ, as you suffer, remember that in Christ, you can do all things. Remember that in Christ, you are more than a conqueror. Remember that in Christ, you are seated in the heavenly places. In Christ, you have a love that cannot be phantom. In Christ, you have a life that can never die. In Christ, you have a righteousness that can never be tarnished. In Christ, you have a peace that can never be understood. In Christ, you have a rest that can never be disturbed. In Christ, you have a joy that can never be diminished. In Christ, you have a hope that can never be disappointed. Remember that in Christ, you have a glory that can never be clouded. In Christ, you have a light that can never be darkened or dim. In Christ, you have a happiness that can never be interrupted. In Christ, you and I have a strength that can never be weakened. In Christ, you have a purity that can never be defiled. In Christ, you have a beauty that can never be marred. In Christ, you have wisdom that can never be dumbed down. And in Christ, you and I have resources that can never be exhausted. So no matter what we go through, we got all that we need in Christ. We got all that we need in Christ. So you and I will suffer as a follower of Christ. But it would only be for a little while. It'd only be for a little while. It has an expiration date. And as I said earlier, even if it's all the days of your life, compared to eternity, that's only a little while. And you got to remember, when we're going through suffering, beloved, when we're going through things, God is doing a divine work on us. He's doing a godly, a Christ-like work on us and in us that only the trials of suffering, only the laboratory of suffering can have that thing, that type of effect in your life and in my life. That's just part of the job description. That's just part of the job description. But suffering won't last always. This too shall pass. What we are going through, what you are going through, what I'm going through, people before us have gone through it. People after us will go through it. And no matter how great your suffering is, no matter how great my suffering is, it doesn't compare to the suffering that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ went through. Suffering won't last always. But as we go through suffering, as I take my seat, we're going to be perfected, we're going to be established, we're going to be strengthened, and we're going to be settled as you and I go through suffering for a little while. Let us pray. Oh, get the Lord a hand clap of praise. Yes, ma'am. Father, we